again. Greetings from Hyderabad. I was there for 5 days and got to attend the Sunday morning, evening, and Wednesday services there. And Pastor John asked us to pray for the 8 disciples that would come from Pastor Timothy's place. And they need 3,500 for each student, 28,000. That is one prayer. We had a great time there. So we spoke about Romans 14:22, having our faith as our conviction before God and hearing God in the body of Christ. I have a thought from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. I pray that you would bless your word and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 28, 18 to 20. I would like to speak about three things. The first one is discerning the pressure from the enemy and discerning the people test and cherishing the presence of God. So these are the three things. Sometimes we really need to discern the threat from the enemy. And a test of the people, maybe unbelievers or believers coming under the weight of it and treasuring the presence of God. So before we get into that application part, I would like to exegete Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Matthew, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And think about that. There is nothing that is withheld. All authority. The word authority there speaks about the right to exercise the power. There is, whatever the situations we may be in, we can, reading that phrase, we can say that God is in control. There is nothing that is slipping out of the hand of God. And that statement is made by Christ from the viewpoint of the finished work of Christ. And all authority, it has been given. And then he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the Great Commission, we know it. And this Great Commission, in the original language, is come to us from the Holy Spirit with one verb and three participles. And that verb and the mood of the verb is imperative. So let me explain that. One verb and three participles. In English language, easy way to understand participle is the verb that is ending in ing, going, coming. This is a participle, just for our understanding. So this Great Commission is made up of one verb in the imperative mood and three participles in different tenses. Why would God do that? Because we should not misunderstand the verb that is in imperative mood. In the Greek or in the general grammatical sense, the participles will explain the verb all about, what all the verb is all about. For our understanding, let me give an example. If I say, clean the kitchen, you can say clean. The word clean is in imperative mood. I am putting it in imperative mood. And that is the main verb, clean the kitchen, the word clean. And the participles, let me say, clean the kitchen, comma, how do we say, taking out the trash, sweeping the floor, and swabbing the floor. So taking and sweeping and swabbing are the participles. Clean is the main imperative. So the word clean is completely explained by these three participles. Suppose if God is saying do this, and if he doesn't support that imperative mode, that too, great commission, come on, we can't make error. And he is, Holy Spirit, making sure that we would do this, because if you miss out this, the church will be going in a different direction altogether, and we will have our own commission. So here, I could even say that, in other words, without the participles, you cannot do the imperative mode verb. So clean the kitchen. Okay, I will move here and there. And then what about taking out the trash? What about sweeping? And what about swabbing? And these three participles clearly explain that imperative mode. Or we are all in the process of shifting the house, right? So how do we say it? Shift or move in US or Indian English. Let's say shift the house, packing the things, and transporting the things, and unpacking the things. So that three participles, you got it? And now let's look at what are the three participles that are embedded in this Great Commission. What is the one main imperative mode verb? I always thought that go is the verb, main verb, and that is supported by all the other participles. But today when I studied taking time and referring and I've been doing that as a part of my course. And I understood that Jesus Christ is very, very clever. And he is all wise. And his wisdom is tremendous. And you can sense that we can lift our hands and worship God, that when he gives that such a great commission, and he makes no mistake. Here, the main verb that is in imperative mode is disciple. Of course, I read it as make disciples. Okay, it is coming without noun. Disciple them. It's understood. Okay, disciple is the main verb. Can you imagine that God would give that as the main verb? Jesus Christ's heart is filled with discipleship. In the Old Testament, you see the men of God. Moses discipled Joshua. Joshua was around Moses, and he learned not just about nature and character of God, how to lead people being a pastor, right? Disciple, that is the very heartbeat of God. And disciple, that is the main verb. And this main verb, which is an imperative mode in the sense God is kind of stressing and giving it to us as a command from the finished work viewpoint. What are the three participles that are coming here? First one is going. It's not go. Correct? Going. Going is a participle. And then baptizing is another participle. Teaching is another participle. So these three participles explain disciple. Okay? So then does that mean that God doesn't ask us to evangelize? So let's get that point more clear. Oh, God is wanting us to only disciple. How will you disciple if you don't have a person? How will you have a person who is a believer who can be disciple if you don't go, like how Romans 10 says, right? The word going is a participle in the aorist tense. And the word baptizing and teaching are the participles in the present tense. The reason why God put that going in the aorist tense is this tense goes before the action of the main verb. Disciple or make disciples. Going, in going you get a person and then you disciple. And the reason why God gives baptizing and teaching in the present participle in the sense this is something that is happening simultaneously, hand in hand. So that's how the participle in the aorist tense goes before the main verb. the main verb's action would not come into being without this. So one step going, in the process of going, our life is filled with going. Yes, of course, it is filled with a lot of details moving here and there, but we are in the process of going. We are on a journey. We are in the process of going. If that going ever gets stopped, I don't think we will be into evangelism. I don't think we will be into the other participle or main verb, that discipling people. Okay? Disciple people and then baptizing them. What a beautiful ministry that God has given. What a call that God has placed in each and every single one of us, and also as a body of Christ collectively together under the God-given leadership. Isn't it amazing that God says that one verb in the imperative mood, I would like to explain that verb. In going, you will get all these things. In going, you will meet and I will be with you. And in going, everything happens. And the other two are simultaneously happening. I would like to bring in the three things that I spoke. If you notice that this is my application, that the Spirit of God gave it to me. All authority is being given. Correct? So the enemy would... Do you think that the enemy will let us do this? But God wants us to know that he has been completely defeated. We are not fighting for victory here. We are fighting from the stand viewpoint of victory. It is the finished work thing. And the enemy, even he comes here and there, but Christ wants us to know before even you do this great commission, all authority, there is nothing, there is not even one bit, is I have taken and it has been given from the viewpoint of what I have done in Philippians chapter 2. So the pressure from the enemy has to be totally discerned from the victory that God has given to us. Otherwise, we'll get sidetracked. Oh, the enemy is coming. And let's make the going as discipling. Let's make the discipling all jumbled and mumbled and all these things, right? And the second thing is the people. Do you think that God has a heart for the people? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. He wishes, or his desire is, that none should perish, right? How will we get people? How will we get people? How will we, in going, you will get people. So people. One time, Pastor Shala asked in the conference last time, right? We all went and we sat and he was like gauging people. And after some time, I don't know what was running in his mind. And he said, so many people in the world. How are you going to save all of them? And then everybody was looking. And then he different answers came. And he said, and after that he said, that's not our problem. By the way, it's God's problem. Why don't you view it from that viewpoint, right? So the test of the people, may it be unbeliever. I want to save everybody, like the people. God loves people, no? Otherwise, he would not say that, disciple them, right? And before that, he says that, discern the enemy. And let he not pressurize you. And the victory is there. And people will come. It will happen, right? It will first... not from the viewpoint of it, but I have a heart for the people. My heart, my eyes are running to and fro. That is the second one. The third one is treasuring the presence of God. Lo, I am with you. You know, what is the secret of participles in the Greek language? That going and baptizing and teaching, these are all the divine work that God does through us. That is the value of the participle. Right? If we don't discern the presence of God, and if we don't let God do it through us, and then it doesn't make any sense, right? So we see these three things hidden in that verse. And I would like to bring in applications or examples or illustrations from the Old and the New Testaments. Different men of God, great leaders, how they encounter these three things and how God spoke to them. The first one is 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 11. We don't have to turn there. Just two, three examples. Here is King Saul. He is taking some steps, right? God has ordained him, anointed him. Such a privileged place being used by God, right? For the people's sake. And you are in that shoe and you don't want to do something strange, right? And fall into the pressure of the enemy or test from the people and given to the people or not realizing the presence of God is with them. I want to bring in these three things that he said in 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 11. And Samuel is coming to meet the King Saul. You know what he said? First thing that he said is the Philistines are, he is actually asking, why did you do these things? And he's saying, Philistines are assembling in Michmash. The enemy is giving me a pressure. And what should I do? Point number one. And point number two is people are all scattering. They are all going away from me. There is a, how will I keep the people? The second one, the third one is you are not here. Your presence is not here. It's gone. So I did all these things. That is a great mistake that he did. And he quotes all these things. But God says, all authority is given to me. And it is my heart that, no, I want to disciple people. I had 11 of them, of course 12. And with them, 3.5 years. I love discipling. And I love pouring out my heart and investing into the hearts of people. And I know that people will be there and they are God-given. And the third one is, I'm with you. And before even he comes, the presence of God is basically brought. I want to see from the viewpoint of the leadership that God has given to Saul. And he totally collapsed. And after that, his path was all zigzag and crooked and everything. The second person I would like to bring into our notice is, and this is Elijah, the great man of God, and the great things that God has done through him. And look at his, not complaints, his viewpoint in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. People are gone. The sons of Israel all forsaken the covenant, you know. That's it, gone. People are gone. That is point number one. Point number two is that they are seeking to kill me. They are seeking to take my life away. And the enemy's pressure, Jezebel is after me. But he is the one man who ran without nobody chasing him. Right? Have you ever been in that place? Nobody is chasing you, you are running. Right? And suddenly you turn that the dog is gone long back. And there is the second one. And the third one is he compared himself with the fathers. And he was kind of saying that I'm done. I want to go. I don't think, God, you are with me. My ministry is over. No, what? God honored his prayer. Kill me, he said. God said, I will take you alive. I answer your prayer in an honorable way. Right? And that is the second person. And the third person, let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Here is Apostle Paul and going from place to place, and he has got the heartbeat of Greater Grace Bangalore, right? So discipling and meeting people and misunderstood and maligned and all these things. Acts chapter 18. This is a beautiful chapter. This is a Corinth, and he comes to Corinth, and he doesn't have money. He is willing to work, and God gives Aquila and Prisca, and he joins with them, and he is making tents and making money, and he goes on Saturdays to synagogue. And then Timothy and what is the other disciple, Silas, and the part of that is explanation for that is 2 Corinthians 11, 9, and they bring money. And then he fully devotes himself to the word of God and teaching and preaching. And then he goes to the synagogues and the Jews don't receive. And he says, okay, I will go to the Gentiles. And he goes to a house, a person's house, which is next to the synagogue. And that guy is saved and synagogue's leader is saved and all these things are happening. Suddenly, I don't know, God would not come and tell him without any correlation. And look at what God says to him. In verse 8, Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, and with all his household and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And in verse 9, God is speaking to Apostle Paul. The Lord said to Paul by a night vision, do not be afraid. Don't give in to the pressure of the enemy. The enemy will threaten you. That is the second part of do not be afraid. The fear comes into our lives through various projections. We kind of like, no, retrace or confessions and all those stuffs. And the second point is, go on speaking, participle, right? Do not be silent. I'm with you. This is like a great commission. The same verse, with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you. Think about Elijah and Saul. No man will attack you in order to harm you. I have many people in this city. Beautiful, right? I have many people. No one will touch you. I'm with you. Go on speaking. And this is what God is saying. And God was with him. Even in one sense, I would put Moses also in that example in Exodus chapter 33. God is saying that to take the people. And he is talking to God. God, you are asking me to take these people. And it's fine. There is a test of the people from the unbeliever or believer's viewpoint, whatever it is. But I want you to be with me. Unless you show your face and unless you are going to go with me, I don't think all these participles make any sense. And going and baptizing and teaching, these are all the three cards that are hung in that one nail, disciple, verb. Disciple, that verb is in imperative mode, and God gives a great emphasis on that. And the most important matter is we are in a ministry that is honoring the Great Commission, right? So the test from the people has to be discerned, the pressure from the enemy has to be discerned, and the presence of God must be cherished. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Bless the rest of the evening in Christ's name. Amen.